Welcome to the Amy Rushworth Show. I'm your host, Amy. I'm so glad you're here. I'm an empowerment and sexual wellness coach, breathwork teacher, podcaster, course creator, badass bitch, and a globally recognized thought leader on empowerment. And I'm here to help you if you're ready to fuck off the rules and create a life of unashamed, unapologetic pleasure and deep, deep confidence. I have a burning passion for the taboo and naughty areas of womanhood that we're not supposed to talk about, such as sexual wellness, bold self-expression, defying social expectations, and so much more. The topics that we're typically taught to shut up about or be ashamed of are the conversations I live for, and those are the kind of juicy, soulful chats that are going down on this show. My intention is for you to step into your most outrageously free, unapologetically expressed version of you. So if that sounds like a vibe, let's fucking go. Are you ready? Welcome to the show, my love. I'm really deeply excited to chat with you, to catch up as well, to hear how you are. How are you?
I'm good, Amy. I'm really excited to be here, excited to see you, and excited to have this conversation.
Amazing. Do you want to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, I would love to. So my name's Alexis, or Lexi. And I am the founder of She Heals Collective, which essentially is a global women's movement and a container for sacred rites of passages for women. So the work that I do is in initiation and rites of passage. And so even though I hold various certifications in coaching, my modality is a blend of lots of different pieces that I've accumulated and cultivated and blended together, but ultimately the foundation of it is sacred rites of passage and feminine rites of passage, whether that be in body, in leadership, in sensuality, in purpose, in dharma, in relationship. They're all centered around the initiatory rites of women that have been lost for a long time. So that's my body of work.
Amazing. This is why I really adore you and respect the work that you do, because it's really deep. And definitely, I'm sure we're going to get into this at some point in the episode, but it's something that I've really been examining, feeling into, to like understand my own place in the industry, because I think that there can be a lot of like shallow work in this industry, and like for some people that's perfect, but I feel like at this moment in time, like a lot of women are really seeking that deep, potent transformation, and not just like a quick fix experience, but something that's really going to help them to revolutionize their path. And like rites of passage is definitely something that we're missing in the Western world, for sure.
Yeah, and I feel like what women don't realize is that rites of passage are really doorways into chambers of our consciousness that we haven't felt yet, that we haven't examined yet, that we haven't seen yet. And so when I look at even the word initiation, it's really about, it's about opening to a new level of consciousness. It's like living in a house where the whole time you only think there's two rooms. But suddenly through initiation, through rites of passage, there's like 20 rooms. And you're like, wait, I thought I was living in a house with two rooms. So it's really expanding your consciousness, expanding your range, recognizing your like infinitesimal nature as a woman, as a spirit, that there's so much more to you than you've been educated or taught. And they're not gone. They're just dormant. They're just asleep. And initiation and rites of passage is how we wake that back up.
Amazing. I love that metaphor. So on that note, I feel like one of these chambers that I really want to explore with you today is our relationship woman to woman and healing the sister wound. So I know this is such a big area and a huge part of all the different things that you teach. So let's get into it. I mean, where do we start with this one? Okay, let's start with, what do you think the origins of the sister wound are? Like, why do we have this weird, contentious dynamic going on with women today?
Great question. I think, when I follow the threads to this origin that you're speaking of, it really has its roots in more modern patriarchal reality and context, because I don't really feel that these distortions existed prior to that. But through patriarchal templates and distortions, we've learned to isolate, to separate, to disconnect from one another for survival purposes. So, like, let's use the Inquisition as an example. For 500 years, when Christianity came to rise and the new gods, if you will, wanted to eliminate the old gods, paganism, right, shamanism, things like that, we basically just wanted to wipe out all of the wisdom, all of the rites of passages, all the ways that women remember their power, in order for this new system to exist, because they can't coexist, essentially, right? Because there is this whole in Christianity, and for those of you listening who haven't really explored what the Inquisition was, this is the time of the witch hunts. This is when they have estimated between 1 and 9 million women and children and people, even some men, were killed, were slaughtered, were exiled, were banished because of their connection to witchcraft, to herbalism, to natural healing, to psychic abilities, to all of these things that are naturally part of what and who we are as women. The very fabric, the very nature, the very tapestry of what we are. They wanted to rid the world of that. And in doing so, so many women had to turn against each other in order to survive, right? Like, imagine you and me, Amy, right? And the context of this is so relevant to right now, right? Like, we've got this whole reality with COVID going on and all the different schools of thought and the healers that want to do the natural work. And then this whole vaccine piece, right? Which wasn't really part of the plan to weave that in, but it is relevant, right? Because you're starting to see this old witch hunt context in a modern placement of, if you and me are friends, if we're sisters and we both practice our religious beliefs, so to speak, our witchcraft, our medicine, and it goes against the mainstream school of thought, right? And they come for us, looking for us to find us. And someone says, if you don't tell me where she is, how I can find her, we'll remove you. We'll remove your work. We'll censor you. We'll kill you. We'll out you, whatever. And so all of a sudden, all these women are being pegged against one another in order to survive, in order to save their families, in order to, to keep their own livelihood. And so many, many people, I would imagine, particularly women, had to do that in those times during the witch hunts, and that imprint's been left on us for centuries. We can't forget it because it's painful. It's this deep, deep betrayal that I let you see me in my power. I let you see me in my natural, raw, wild, organic essence, and you exploited that, or you used that against me, or you outed that in some way. And so it's just this trauma, right? And if we look at it from a lineage, right, intergenerational, it just keeps passing on and passing on and passing on until somebody recognizes that this entity, this trauma imprint, we have to do something with it, or we're just going to keep perpetuating it. And that's really where I see the sister, what I call the sister shadow, sits in all of this. Because for me, I don't believe that women can really rise into their fullest power, which is co-creative power, until we've acknowledged the shadow, until we've acknowledged the underworld of sisterhood. And we've been avoiding that through so many new age practices and, spiritual bypassing, that we're missing the roots. The root system isn't getting dealt with. And I started to see in the industry, in my own life, in all kinds of more alternative education around the sisterhood, I started to see this patterning of like kind of superficial, like we weren't going deep enough. There's lots of women talking about it. And I don't say this in judgment against any other women who are speaking about sisterhood or sharing. I was just noticing that the level at which we were interacting and interfacing with it was still superficial, right? Yeah. It was like, come and sit in our goddess circle and like pray with us and like heal yourself. But that's not going to change the fact that there are women sitting in that space who feel triggered, who feel confronted, who feel uncomfortable in their bodies, in front of other women, are dealing with their own experiences and perception of what's happening in the circle. Like we can't just come together in goddess circle and say that that's healing the sister wound. For me, yeah. It's an element of how we, you know, obviously community is so important, but it's not getting to the toxic roots. The toxic roots can only be alchemized when you go and confront them. Yeah. So, you know, I find that what's out there at the moment that I've witnessed, and I'm so open to witnessing other people who are sharing at this level, but it's still superficial. It's still not getting to the root. And, you know, so many women I would notice, even after they spent months in container with other women, in sacred space with other women, if this wasn't dealt with directly and clearly and, you know, what's the word? Like somatically, interfacing with this together, it wasn't clearing. Even if they sat in circle and sat in sacred space with women for months and months and months, it wasn't clearing all the way because we weren't going deep enough. Mm-hmm. And it needed to be spoken. Like all the ugliness, how I feel about you, what I think about you, how you've hurt me, the projections, like it needs to come out. We're doing a lot of spiritual band-aids. You know, the love and lighting and the spiritual band-aids, which isn't getting into the underworld. And I think so many women are afraid of that space in general, but particularly this kind of like sisterhood underworld where all this toxic shit is sitting and nobody wants to actually touch it or take ownership for it or acknowledge it because it's uncomfortable. It's one of the most uncomfortable spaces you'll ever be in, including myself. Like it really is so multi-textural and like edgy and gritty, and we can't be afraid of it, you know. And I also feel just the other piece of this in your original question before I get lost in the question is you know, how do we get here? We also got here through patriarchal, the severance of our wildness of our inner wild woman. She has been severed from society, and what I have linked and tracked is that wild woman repression is perpetuating sister wounding because we're unable to be authentic. We're unable to be natural. We're unable to be raw. We're unable to be emotional, fluid beings in this current modern template that we live in. We can't even be ourselves in our most wild expression, our most raw expression. How are we ever going to authentically cultivate relationships with other women? We can't do it because everybody's just armed themselves with all of this pretense and all of this fakeness, whether they mean to or not, and it's not enabling us to cultivate meaningful relationships with one another. So it's sort of this overarching, you know, how patriarchy has oppressed the wild, how it's oppressed the raw, how it's oppressed the earth. It's basically as Christianity came to rise, right? We renounced earth for sky. We found that it was more powerful to be connected to the cosmic Father God than it was to be in devotion to the earthy, gritty, dirty Mother Earth. And so it's totally connected to the way that we then body to body, heart to heart, eye to eye, interface with other women. We just bypass it. We just completely bypass it. We're not getting in the gritty. We're not getting our hands dirty in the soil because we renounced Earth Goddess, Earth Mother. So as we come back into unity with our wild, with our range, we're able to then come into unity with each other. And that's the connection point that I've tracked over years of dealing with this in my own life. Obviously you don't really birth bodies of work that you haven't deeply submerged yourself in and been confronted by and been challenged by. And for me, I love women, like truly in my heart. I have been in devotion to women for all my life, really, that I can remember, but deeply for 15 years. And yet it still comes with its challenges and its confrontations and its projections and its, you know, dis-ease and all the things. And so what I want to do is, we're not trying to rid ourselves of the wound and the shadow. We're just trying to learn how to navigate it better, right? Like how to bring the wound into wisdom and how to navigate each other's shadows without bypassing or tiptoeing, getting to it, but from a place of graciousness, a place of honesty, a place of transparency, so that we can collectively transcend this low level shadow sisterhood that we're inside of.
Mm. Yeah, so powerful. How about this for an edgy question? There's, I mean, everyone has their own like way of doing the things in the industry, right? There's definitely this segment of our industry around the feminine that speaks to divine union, submitting to the masculine. But what I've noticed in some of these kind of segments is this, it almost reminds me like the teachings. It's like, be a good, devoted Christian wife. Like it feels like that. And I do actually like to follow some of these bodies of work because there are threads that I feel like I can pull and I'm like, yeah, that resonates. And then other things I'm like, this feels like almost a bit regressive to me. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I ask this is because we're talking about the wild woman. And I feel like these teachings are almost saying like, no, 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 like be a devoted woman submitted to your man. So I would just love to like hear your thought on that.
What a question. You know, it's funny, I get asked a lot of questions and I don't think anyone's ever asked me that. So I'm like, wow, this is an interesting texture to layer into the whole picture, because I can totally understand what you're speaking to. And I can see how two impressionable minds that don't have a lens of discernment, that they can get lost in that rhetoric of like, you know, submitting and devoting and surrendering and, you know, all of those pieces which aren't inherently bad in any way. But I think when we're, you know, okay, let me backstep here, because there's so many pieces inside of this. For me, it's about discernment, right? And that's the wild woman. Okay. And I guess if I had to think about it like a layered spiraling process of reclamation, for me, it's absolutely fundamentally foundational that we start there. Because how can any other part of ourselves express itself authentically if our inner wildness and our inner range isn't activated from a place of true authenticity, right? And from that place, there may be an aspect in our range that is this devoted, you know, submissive, surrendered, you know, deeply kind of loving, graceful, etheric, feminine being connected to her beloved, right? Which can be a man, can be a woman, can be God, can be earth, right? If you just even change it from out of the kind of heterosexual rhetoric that we also think of that our minds go to, of a man and a wife, or, you know, the masculine and the feminine from that regard, but even just like, well, what would it be like to be in surrendered, devoted space to earth, to like ancient mother, to goddess? Right? We don't sort of like connect those pieces. We think of it as this, you know, husband, wife, or, you know, the nun and the god, right? Like the nun has renounced all other aspects to be in devotion to this father sky god, right? So there's all these ways that it plays out. And I guess my response to this is maybe not the answer you're looking for, but there's got to be a level of wild range that's already been brought back online that gives you and offers you the lens of discernment to be able to see and experience and feel for yourself what is true for you, rather than taking on a dogma or a teaching or a segment or whatever that you're viewing through distorted eyes, through mm-hmm. a personality and a mask and a persona that actually isn't in alignment with who you are. And so then it becomes another distortion because we're not activated from the root, right? Which is like everything from the tree can rise through the roots. But if those roots are not clear and fortified and strong, nothing else can rise into its fullest potential. And so I guess for me, Wild Woman is root work. It's about getting into the places in our roots that have been cut off, toxified, you know, festering, moldy, broken, unstable, whatever, and really bringing back the power of the roots to be able to discern. It's like inner authority, right? So when we think about Wild Woman energy and we think about the archetype and the template, you know, I work with the three I's inside of this: intuition, instinct, and inner authority. And if that isn't already online, any aspect that you explore, any religion you explore, any teachings that you explore, be they New Age or otherwise, aren't coming through a clear lens because those three wild pieces of your technology aren't online. But as soon as they are, I guess what's possible is that you take things like exactly like what you've done, right? You're taking it through the filter and going, this doesn't actually feel right to me, or this doesn't really resonate, or something feels a bit off. You know, for me, this came up in the languaging that's changing because of this whole sort of huge movement around gender equality and non-binary and transgenderism, when we were starting to eliminate words like breastfeeding and woman and menstrual cycle and things like that. And I initially was taking it on, and then I realized this for me is not resonating at all. This is not, something here is off. And I wouldn't have known that if my natural wild technology, my primal technology, was not online. It was my instincts, my intuition, and my inner authority that allowed me to even discern that something there was off. And then as I did my research and explored inner and outer, I recognized some of the players that are manipulating our language and reality to siphon, to extract more languaging that women need in order to articulate what we are and who we are, right? So I guess you've almost answered the question inside of the question because you shared that you're being discerning. And I guess my response to that is, I don't know if I have an answer to whether I believe it's a problem or not, some of that rhetoric. What I do think is important is that we have established our filter of discernment that's based in our intuition, our inner authority, and our instincts. And if that's not online, I don't know that we as primal beings can trust everything that we see around us or hear around us because it's not able to come through that filtration system. Does it make sense?
Yeah. It's like, you don't know when to shout or shut up because like the inner system is not regulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not even online. It's like, it's off. It's just completely off. Right.
Yeah.
And so then you take on, and this is how things like Christianity and even New Age movements, right? New Age religions that are becoming so culty and dogmatic and rigid and toxic and distorted. It doesn't matter if it's religion or New Age spirituality or whatever. If we're not clear in our own primal being, I don't think we can take anything on board authentically because it's not coming through our animalistic, primal, essential, wild template, our technology rather. And when that's online, I think interfacing and interacting with the world around you becomes very, very different and much more empowering.
Yeah. Amazing. I actually saw this really potent example of the sister wound in action yesterday on the internet. A former coach of mine that was like basically put onto this page. It was this Instagram page that this woman had created. She used to be a coach and yoga teacher. Now she's just like fucked that off and she's doing this page. And the premise of it is like calling out BS in the spiritual and coaching industry and making like reels and taking people's posts and like remixing them and saying why it's problematic. And she had taken a reel of my former mentor, and this reel was her like embodying her essential essence, and it was like a mishmash of this, and she was talking shit about it. I go lower on the page, and there's like everyone that we know in the coaching industry is somehow featured on this page. I see that she's following me. She hasn't posted me yet. So I'm like, block, 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 block. But there was this sort of mini outrage yesterday about it, because obviously a lot of people who have followed her work have gone over there and defended her. And I was just kind of examining the whole situation. I was like, okay, here's like two women who feel like they're in their power, executing it in totally different ways. And I was just kind of looking at it. And this inspired me to ask you about one of the sister shadows that I think is very prominent for a lot of women, which is like bullying and bitchiness and criticizing one another. And so I thought, what if we could riff a little bit on this, and like, how do we start to heal this?
I love this. And it's something, it's funny, as you were telling that story, I was thinking, oh my God, is she going to be talking about the women that I know? Because it's not, based on what you've shared, it's not, but there's another situation like this that I just recently have been witnessing in my kind of, my kind of distant community. Like, they're not necessarily sisters of mine, but they're sisters of sisters, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been watching some different things go down on the internet and just kind of going, wow, this is really, really interesting. You know, for me, I guess you're asking me what my input is on this particular topic. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or this situation. Yeah. If you have to take another woman, put her on the crucifix and make her an example in front of everybody else in a way that is not coming deeply rooted in love, you're operating from shadow. That's not authentic power for me. Yeah. And I really believe that there's a time and a place for assertive, directed, you know, acknowledgement, naming. You know me, I'm all about naming shit, but to put another sister on the crucifix for all the other sisters, taking things like reels or posts or whatever, and just blatantly shaming them is operation sister. It's from shadow, right? It's not coming from wisdom.
Yeah. It feels like the kind of Christian induced power over complex rather than power with. Yeah.
Exactly.
And you know, on that thread, like, I think a bunch of people then came to her page and were like defending this coach and saying like, how dare you like do this to another woman, you know, because it was in the name of accountability. I'm saying that in like inverted commas. And her response was like, well, you're saying that, but you're doing that by like shaming my expression. But it's like, your expression was rooted in shame to begin with, in my opinion.
And to me, this is just another form of cancel culture, right? Which, yeah. I don't care if you're Black, if you're white, if you're male, if you're female, if you're transgender, if you're numb, I don't care what the fuck you are. To me, cancel culture is never right. How is that going to create a reality where we are harmonized and unified? I believe that there's a process where we can take these difficult issues, contain them in sacred space, name them in sacred space, and transmute them. But to just do it outside the realms of sacred space in a way that is intentionally trying to destabilize another woman is never going to create lasting, sustainable change. Because I'm sure in her mind, this woman who's doing the canceling, in her mind, she's right. Right? Like, something in her believes that what she's doing is the right thing. It's the righteous thing. She's helping her community by calling this other woman out. Right? But to me, you've got to get really fucking clear on what's driving you, which is part of how we raise, you know, raise into our embodied leadership is, where is this coming from? Because I have the ability to influence and impact. And if this is rooted in distortion, in toxicity, in shadow, it's only going to create more of that. And what I'm trying to do is not create more of that, but yet all I'm going to do is create more of that, right? Which is for me, my part of my leadership process is really being clear about intentions. And we all get triggered. We all get angry. When I look online, there's shitloads of women that annoy me and trigger me. And I think, fuck, you're so inauthentic, or fuck, how did you do this? Or fuck, this is so fake, or, you know, whatever. But to throw her on the crucifix in front of everybody, how would that help any situation? How would that help me? How would that help her? How would that help our communities? All we're doing is perpetuating more of the same. And, and it's a slippery slope from there when you treat other women like that, even if you think you're doing it in the name of healing, bring it into sacred space, right? Which is why I've created Sister Shadow, because people just let it rip. Like, I let the women rip. You want to fucking scream, cunt, fuck, asshole, I fucking hate your guts. Like, you let it go in that space. But we are in sacred transmutational space. We are not just doing it to give our egos little, you know, strokes and to feed the dark energy, right? We're here to alchemize this. And the only way we can truly do that is if we bring it into the sacredness of containment, of intentionality. But just to throw it on the internet like that, for me, it has its roots in fear, and leadership based in fear is only going to create more distortion, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Thank you for your take on that. Totally agree. Could do a whole episode on cancel culture and fucking woke culture. Mm. It's just some days I'm like, the world has lost its mind. Probably never had it, but, you know, yeah, wild times.
And I also feel that the substantial amount of shadow that's surfacing is a good indication that we're clearing. But the problem is that so many of us do not have clearing tools. Yeah. And we do not have systems that have been upgraded to handle that. And so we just go into we just combust, and our system just malfunctions because it's not upgraded to be able to work with that. And that's why it's important that we do this kind of reconfiguration, because it's going to keep coming. Like, we've already witnessed in the last 2+ years, the intense amount of shadow that's moving so fast up and out in order for us to clear it. But those who don't have those tools are going to struggle through that process and cling to illusion, because they don't have the ability, because they haven't cultivated the ability. They have the ability, but they haven't cultivated the ability to navigate this time, right? Which is why I feel like more than ever, we need to be really, really resourced, because it's not going to get easier anytime soon. It's going to get more complex, more dynamic, and we need to be able to move with that and learn how to communicate through that. That's the piece here, that humanity sucks at communication. They fucking suck. We suck at communication. And how does life thrive? Through communication. Nature thrives through interdependent communication. If it's not communicating with one another, nothing can thrive. And so we need to come back to communication that uplifts, not communication that enslaves and shames. Like, that context that you're sharing, that's not going to liberate. That's not going to liberate more connection. That's going to enslave more connection.
Yeah, it's like anti-life. Yeah,
exactly.
Your different takes on the various different sister shadows, the ones that you've identified, they've actually been really helpful to me, babe. I think I'm still in my Saturn return, and honestly, like, there's been various things that have happened, but there's been some really big, like, sister things that have come up, and having those kind of like archetypes to, like, you know, be able to be like, oh, okay, I feel like this is operating in my space right now. I feel like I've slipped into this one right now. That's been really helpful for me. I don't know if we're going to be able to, like, get into all of the different archetypes, but I think that they could be like a helpful lens for the listeners. Mm. So could we go into them?
Yeah, sure. So as I was doing research and kind of data collection on this body of work, I started to notice really clear patterns that were coming through. And when I say research, I mean, like, I was through my own clientele, you know, collecting their data in terms of what are the themes that come up for them? What are the challenges? What are the patterns? What are the cycles? What are the archetypal things? What are the stories that are playing out again and again and again? I was tracking it in myself. I was tracking it in friends and sisters and colleagues. And little by little, I started to identify there was a very clear map of five core sister wounds. And there may be things that are a bit nuanced within each core wound, but these are the five core. And yet I still have yet to really download or uncover any more core wounds. And the way that it works, the way that I use my lens inside of this is, you know, when we speak about the sister wound, we kind of speak about it generally, you know, like, oh, that's my sister wound, which doesn't always hit home for people, right? Because sometimes what I feel as a sister wound, you might not feel, right? Yeah. And so then you're like, oh, I don't have a sister wound. A lot of women will say that to me, like, oh no, I've done all my healing. I'm like, good, I don't have a sister wound. I'm like, are you sure about that? Because I still do, right? And I'm like devoted my life to this and spent over a decade working so deeply with women and tracking and watching and communicating through it. And mine's not clear. It's still alchemizing. It's still reconfiguring itself, right? Because this is an ancient fucking imprint. So, yeah. You know, sometimes if we speak about the sister wound, women will think like, oh no, I don't have that. But as soon as we get into the map and as soon as I show them the core wounds, that it's not just a generalized sister wound, it's a very nuanced, very multidimensional wound. And you have a unique constitution as a woman, meaning you have, like, let's say two primary wounds, Amy. Mm-hmm. And those are the wounds that are most tender. And when you're operating in sisterhood and communication with sisters, whether it's clients, friends, mother, strangers, those wounds will be most present for you and most challenging for you, right? That's also where your shadow will then be confronted or provoked. And then that part of you will meet that part of her, right? So I look at it like this. Something happens with a woman, it creates a wound, right? The trauma, the experience, how we felt about the experience creates the wound. And then from the wound, we want to keep the wound safe. And so the sister wound then creates a sister shadow that kind of sits in protection of the wound so that no one gets close to it, right? So mm-hmm. The shadow might be that you're really cold and that you never let women get close to you. That might be the shadow that's protecting a wound of betrayal. So it's really multidimensional nuance. And then when we open this up for women, they're like, oh yeah, like this makes a lot more sense than just saying I have a sister wound. Because mm-hmm. For me, for example, you know, competition isn't a big one. Like maybe a little bit of texture of that, but that's not my primary constitution. So if someone were to speak to that being like the main sister wound thing, I wouldn't relate to that because it doesn't show up for me like that in my life. It shows up differently. So what I'll do is I'll just name the five so that everyone can kind of get an idea of the map that I work with. The first wound that I identified was the rejection wound, right? Which is also like the exile wound.
I think that's mine.
Maybe that's why I said it first, because I don't know if I say that one usually first.
Yeah.
Right. So the rejection wound is the exile wound. It's the non-belonging wound, right? It's the wound of unbelonging. That's what I call it. And that for you, and I'm going to use you as my case study for this today.
Okay.
And everyone can kind of work with us on this. So I just want you to feel into your body, Amy, if you close your eyes for a moment. And I'm going to share these wounds. I'm going to name them for you. And you just sort of feel into in your body, you know, where do you feel it? What's the intensity of it? What's the sensation of it? So if you feel into the rejection piece, this exile piece, from a scale of 1 to 10, how intense is that wound for you if you tune into it in the body?
Well, right now it's like a 5, but I did just do like a lot of deep healing last week around this. So when I was feeling this last week, it was like a 9 or a 10.
Okay, beautiful. So we'll just let that kind of exit for a moment and we'll move into the second wound. And following your body, I just want you to feel where betrayal and deception are living in the body for you. Related to women. And just tune into the intensity of it. And the sensation of it. And when you're ready and you've sort of located where that is, just feel from 1 to 10, name how strong it feels in this moment.
6.
Okay, good. And we'll move into the third wound, which is inauthenticity and fakeness, which can sometimes show up as backstabbing, two-faced. Pretentious. And in regards to sisterhood, feeling where any wounding around inauthenticity is living in the body, in the intensity of it. What's the visceral sensation that you feel? And then locating how strong it is in this moment from 1 to 10.
7.
Good. Now letting that one go for a moment. And then we'll come into the fourth wound, which is comparison and judgment, which is relative to what we just spoke about and those women that you were sharing, this judgment piece. Comparing ourselves, judging one another. Just feeling in the body where that lives for you. Feeling what the visceral sensation of that is. And all the times that that's played out. And from a scale of 1 to 10, naming how strong it is in this moment.
3.
Okay, good. And then the last wound, we'll just let that one go for a moment. And we'll come into connection with the final wound, which is competition and scarcity. The wound of not enoughness. There's never enough for me, never enough men, money, friends, opportunities, resources, health. Feeling in the body where this wound is most alive. What the visceral sensation of this scarcity and this competition. And from a scale of 1 to 10, naming how strong it is in this moment.
1
Good. So just take a deep breath. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So that's like a little taste of the process. And you were a perfect case study, because what we see is that your primary constitution, at least at this point, I know you just did a lot of work on the rejection, and let's say rejection, you know, based on it being a 9 or 10 recently, rejection's primary, inauthenticity is secondary, right? So it's your, what I would call Amy's constitution, mm-hmm. right? And based in that constitution, when you interface with other women, right? You're interfacing with that wound aliveness, right? Like that story is really alive in your body to some degree, right? Mm-hmm. And so this isn't meant to be disempowering, it's meant to be empowering, because if you know that it's there and you know that you have the potentiality to operate from that place, then you can avoid, or, you know, I don't even want to say avoid, but navigate your communication and dealings with other women with better precision, with mm-hmm. more integrity, because you're not pretending as though you don't have them. You're acknowledging that you do, and you're navigating with the knowledge that you do have that unique constitution. And it ebbs and flows, right? Like sometimes in your life, it may be really like fiery hot, right? Like you said, like the rejection might be really fiery hot. And then you do some, you know, alchemy in that, and you do some work in that, and you do some processes in that, and then it comes down to a three. But everybody, you know, when women come into the Sister Shadow initiation container, and they start to see their constitution, they're like, this makes complete sense now of how I've gotten myself into these entangled messes with other women based on our unique constitutions interfacing. And I also believe that our unique constitutions want to interface with each other because they want to be healed. So it's never mm-hmm. a surprise why we bring about the people and the opportunities, right, to do that, because those wounds and those shadows really want to evolve, but they have to be named, they have to be seen. And sometimes the only way we can really see it is through the eyes of another woman, right? Like I always say, it's easy to enter into bliss when you're, you know, alone meditating in the Himalayas by yourself, but it's the real middle path is being in the world in relationship, because relationship will always test your capacity. It will always test how integrated your practice is, how integrated your values are, because relationship is where we reflect all these places in one another. And so this constitution gives so much context to how we navigate that and how we give ourselves grace and also other women, like knowing Amy is a human just like me. She's a woman just like me. No matter how much money she makes, what she has or doesn't have, if she's in a relationship or not a relationship, if she's a mother, if she's not a mother, we both share some kind of sister wound constitution. And I really don't care. I don't care who steps in my space. If they're 5 years, well, I shouldn't say 5 years. If they're 15 years old or they're 50 years old, they have some kind of wound, because this is ancient. This is old business that hasn't been handled, that now needs to be handled through us coming into contact with it. So no woman is exempt from this, mm-hmm. including myself. Like I put myself up there to do this work in order to hold myself accountable for ensuring that this is a continuation of alchemy again and again and again through the next future lineages. Because if not, it's easy to just go, well, fuck women, I don't care. Right. Yeah. And put on a pretend face and not actually be in true relationship with one another, where it's not all just happy, la, la, kumbaya, but like when shit hits the fan, and this can be with anybody, with a client, right? Like I see this a lot in leadership where women they struggle with how to interface with clients when they're triggered by something in the sister wound field, right? Mm. And how do you navigate that? And how do you also call your client forward to navigate that with you when she's also got her own wound? So it's relevant to all areas of our life. And it's very empowering to know that we're not alone in that. And that gives us grace with each other, that we can come into forgiveness, that we can come into love and harmony, some kind of harmony, right? And sometimes that harmony is actually don't want to be in your life. We're not in resonance anymore. And I wish you well, and I send you on your way, but we don't have to be pretend friends anymore just because we were friends since we were five, which is what happens, right? We outgrow people and then we're afraid to let them go because of the wounding. And really the most loving thing we can do sometimes is just say, this isn't working. I set you free, instead of just collapsing or avoiding or pretending, which is what most women do because they don't want to have the conversation. They don't want to have the hard conversation because they're afraid that they can't handle it, coming back to the wild woman, because their intuition, instincts, and inner authority is off. When that's on, you're able to interface with the wildness of another woman without collapsing. Does that make sense?
Total sense. Yeah. Would have been useful to me in many previous collapses.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. What about, like, you know, you get this kind of queen bee energy that can show up in some female friendships, where, like, I had this with a friend of mine. We were like, we were very close, but it was kind of like, on retrospect, there was maybe a lot of fakeness there, and the dynamic was being held up by, like, we can be super close and I'll love you up, but, like, if you get too successful or too close to my success, that's when I'm, like, uncomfortable. Not me personally, the other person. Mm-hmm. And our friendship basically, like, collapsed, having one of these heart-to-heart conversations. But I can see that I was, like, not in embodiment in that conversation. I was very, like, caught off guard. And I really felt this, like, queen bee dynamic going on. So what do you think that would fall under? Because I know, like, so many women have the same, where it's like they feel like they can only survive in a friendship if they are at a certain level of, like, comfortable power within that relationship.
Yeah, it's a good question. And this comes back to those old templates of hierarchy, right? Where in female leadership, it's about synergy, which is co-creative power, which means nobody is ultimately at the top. It doesn't mean that there's not moments where someone is leading, because I do think that that is actually part of synergy, is that there's a moment in the space when somebody is leading the process, right? It can't be three people leading the process. It just doesn't work. It's not about who's better or worse. It's just part of functionality, right? So moving out of hierarchy and into synergy, and synergy is about honoring the power of our combined gifts together, right? Like, we are actually more powerful when there's not a hierarchy, when there's not a queen bee, but when there's an emerging of power that then creates a new power and a new dynamic, which is based in synergy. So for me, what that would fall under is competition and scarcity. There's not enough. And that's what this patriarchal system is about, right? There's this hierarchical, people at the top get everything and nobody else gets anything, right? So there's this imprint of scarcity built into the system that we all live inside of on a societal and cultural level. And we're just reimagining that and placing that into our leadership, our new age leadership, but it is exactly the same thing, except in some fucking goddess outfit, right? In some some goddess circle. It's the same fucking thing. So we have to come back to, what is our true power? It's co-creative. And that doesn't mean anybody's at the top. It's not a pyramid, right? It's a circle. Our power as women is circular, which is part of how the earth works, right? It's regenerative. As my power grows and you stand next to me, you receive the transference of that power, which then empowers the woman next to her. And the transference just keeps going until the synergy is completely fluid in co-power, right? Circular power. So in terms of that question, it sounds like she's operating from that old hierarchical blueprint that excludes co-creation out of fear of scarcity, that there won't be enough, right? There won't be enough attention. There won't be enough praise. There won't be enough money. There won't be enough whatever, fill in the blank. And so that's not safe, because there won't be enough for me, which is just, you know, for me, that's what I was tracking in competition. It's way beyond competition. It's scarcity. It's, there is not enough. And if there is not enough, I can't survive. My ego can't survive. My body can't survive. My heart can't survive. My relationship can't survive, right? And when we recognize that our power is circular and regenerative, that the more empowered you become, the more empowered I become, all of that is dissolved.
Yeah, totally. Is jealousy a part of this one as well?
A part of competition.
Yeah.
I think that could fall in either competition or comparison, you know, the judgment piece as well, because we often, you know, jealousy can often be just judgment. She has something that I want and I'm jealous that she has it and I don't, right? So I think they can be linked with either, which is why jealousy isn't its own wound, because it's connected to multiple of them. Yeah.
Amazing. Cool. So where would you recommend everybody starts with this work? Because it's deep shit, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I think probably some level of shadow work has already been ideally begun before you work with a sister shadow, and a level of self-responsibility. You know, the very first entry point place where my body of work, where you're designed to meet me, is in a temple I called Sacred Self-Responsibility, which is literally a class that I used to teach all the time. And now it sits inside of a pre-recorded self-paced course. And that's the very first thing, because if you're not willing to take responsibility, you're never going to come into right relationship with other women. Mm. Because this isn't for one woman to own. This is for all of us to own. This is for all of us to take responsibility. It's not just my job to do that. It's our job to do that, because it's imprinted in all of us, no matter what culture we're sitting in. And so I think probably some level of shadow work you've started, because it's really uncomfortable, you know? And I think, you know, if you're listening to this and you sat with that the sister shadow map, the wound map, the sister wound map, right? And you felt it in your body, just start to notice how that is showing up in your life on a day-to-day basis. And this is what the women I have in the full container, I have them, once they know what it is, I have them begin to track it. So where are you seeing this? How is this showing up for you? How is it coming into your relationship, your marriages, your children, right? Your mothering, your leadership. Like, now that you know what the constitution is, and you know the process that Amy and I just did, like, that was much more, you know, for me and you, that was much more condensed. Ideally, I would not just spend 5 minutes, we would spend like an hour just deeply going in to the stories that have been kind of encrypted into your bones from your experience, but also your mother's experience and her mother's experience and her mother's experience, right? But now that you at least know what that map is, you can begin to track it, follow it. Like, how is it showing up? What is it bringing up in you? What opportunity is it affording you to change that so that you can have healthy, vibrant relationships with women? And I think the other piece is just recognizing, you know, just because a relationship ends doesn't mean anything failed, which is a big part of my work in the sister shadow, is we have an obsession with, an obsession with life and a renunciation of death and a fear of death, right? Like, we don't want to, death is failure to us in this culture. But the way that I'm teaching and facilitating sister shadow is the acknowledgement that relationships will come and go. And the ones that don't stay for a lifetime, nothing, it doesn't mean anybody failed. The death of a friendship, the death of a sisterhood or a sister, or whatever, does not equal failure. It is affording you the opportunity to offer each other deeper healing. And that may be the only reason why you guys came in contact for that period in your life. And so get rid of this idea that all relationships, all friendships, all sisterhood has to live on forever and ever. I don't look at any of my relationships like that, none of them, because to me, that's a ridiculous expectation. It's not based in true earth wisdom, because earth wisdom understands the death and rebirth cycle. It's coming for all of us, whether we want it to or not. So I would really start with the tracking of those wounds, you know, and really feeling into where they're coming up for you.
So powerful. Isn't she so powerful, guys? Yes, you're amazing, so wise. Respect you so much. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. And I feel like we could do like 20 podcasts just on this topic. So thank you for bringing these pieces. And where can they learn more from you?
Yeah, well, we actually have a free event coming up on the 22nd of April. I'm not sure when this is coming out, if that will be available for them, but that's in about 9 days. So that's a really great starting point. It's called Resurrection, and it's basically the resurrection of our wild feminine rights, you know, becoming and remembering the wild within us, which ultimately is going to bring us on a path to deeper meaning and connection with other women. So that's available. And then we're also going to be opening up Sister Shadow this month for a May start. So this will be our third round of this immersion, which I think starts on May 5th, 5-5. For anybody who wants to go really deeply into the work, it's a 2-week initiation. We go hard, fast, deep, and you'll never be the same after that experience. It's the most intense space I hold, and it's only 2 weeks long, but it's just cracks open all the places inside of you that you've hidden yourself, your essence, your truth, your power, in order to protect the wound. And what we're really doing is going in and alchemizing the wound back into wisdom. So yeah, I would love to connect. My handle is She Heals Co. So feel free to come over and share, you know, what arose for you in this conversation. And we'd be so happy to have you in the next initiation.
Yeah, amazing. That container sounds amazing. And something I just want to say is, like, everybody is obsessed with, like, how do I quantum leap? How do I make $20 million? Go and do this kind of work. You know, like, if you're a coach who is holding space for other women, like, through deep triggers, or you want to be, like, going deeper with your clients, like, this kind of work, to me, that feels like the very top priority.
I agree. It's all underworld work, which nobody wants to deal with. It's the roots of the tree. Nobody wants to go in the dark, voided space. They want to go to the light space, right? But that's where all the genius is. That's where all the power is held up. And so, you know, I joke with the women who do the Sister Shadow initiation, because, you know, I say that the first couple of days, you know, it's there's some temples that are really intense, and some temples that are just, they just bring you into this buoyancy and this joy and this celebration and this liberation. But we have to go into these places. Like, for me, in my own integrity as a facilitator and as a teacher and as a woman, I'm not willing to bypass it. So it's not a space of kumbaya. We don't hold hands and, like, you know, whisper prayers to each other. We are confronting the places of anger and rage and betrayal and scarcity, the places in us where there's not anything left for us. And it's also connected to the mother wound, no surprise. So there's all kinds of textures that come up, but there's full permission that you get to show up and rage or cry or snot out your nose or roll on the ground or whatever, you know? And that's ultimately what's most healing, is that you don't have to hold anything back for the sake of, you know, saving face or being in the goddess circle and wanting everyone to accept you for being pretty. And, you know, it's about getting into the raw, the wild, the primal, and the instinctual, and letting that come through. So.
Amazing. Sounds so cool. thank you so much, love. Love you. And please come to Mallorca.
Amy's a secret.
it's all right. Everyone's coming here. The land is calling everyone. I'm getting messages, like, every day from people being like, hey, I feel like I'm going to come to the island. And I'm like, yes. Everybody come.
Yeah, it's definitely, that land is calling me. So it's just a matter of when, not if, once I get out of this country and get my wings back. But yeah, hopefully we'll be having more of these conversations in the flesh with some sangria.
Yeah, and some cheese and
exactly.
Amazing. All right, love. Thank you again so much.
Thank you so much for having me, Amy.
Thank you so much for tuning in. I hope this episode ignited you, expanded you, and enriched your heart, your mind, your life in some way. If it did, reach out on Instagram. My handle is ThisIsAmyRushworth, or you can head over to my website for all my courses, retreats, and magical offerings at amyrushworth.com. If the show feels like a vibe for you, make sure you subscribe. And if you have 60 seconds to rate and review, or even to just share the show with a friend, I would be so, so, so grateful. And it helps more amazing, beautiful people like you to discover this show and to improve their lives for the better. Stay tuned for the next episode. And until then, I'm sending you strength, grace, ferocious courage, and a friendly reminder to always love yourself fiercely. and to go out there and live your most unapologetic life.